The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. We're live here inside the Emden Studios. Our friends at Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor want you to ring in the new year the right way. And, you know, in celebration of the North American Auto Show, they have some tremendous deals for you on Chevys. Suburban Chevrolet Cadillac in Ann Arbor is located at 3515 Jackson Road in Ann Arbor. It's the corner of Jackson and Wagner Roads, where if you head down now, you can take advantage of the great deal on the 2019 Chevy Trax, this sporty, compact SUV, you know, an around town kind of vehicle. You can lease it right now for just $98 a month with $995 down, or sign and drive for $199 per month for 24 months. Or if you're looking for a little more space, you can get it if you get into the 2019 Chevy Equinox LT. The Equinox, this midsize SUV, was the top-selling vehicle in Michigan in 2018. You can lease it right now for just $159 a month with $995 down, or sign and drive for $264 per month for 24 months. Now, it's very, very easy to make it down to the corner of Jackson and Wagner Roads, but if you don't have time to do that, you can always go to their website at suburbanchevroletofannarbor.com. Again, Chevy, find new roads, and Suburban Chevrolet, get on out there and make the choice. So we put the questions of the day to you earlier this morning. First, it was about your impressions. Now that you've had a day to read all the articles on the first interview with Josh Gattis on the Attack Each Day podcast, what do you think his impact is going to be? You know, we've heard excitement from some, and we've heard some cautious optimism. We've started to hear a lot more here in the last half day or so. Folks saying, oh, this doesn't sound much different. Doesn't sound much different at all.
So we have an email on that from David. He says, I always state it when I agree with anything the free press might say, but I do think Nick Baumgartner has been pretty accurate in his analysis of Michigan football in the past and is pretty accurate in his attitude towards Michigan right now. We are certainly hearing some of the right things from Harbaugh and Gattis, but for now, all we have is talk and what appears to be a really good hire by Jim. I keep hearing the word tweaks, and that annoys me. We don't need wholesale changes, but we do need significant changes, particularly in philosophy, to maximize the use of some exceptionally talented players and minimize the downside impact where we are still a work in progress. I think 2019 is going to be a watershed year for this program one way or the other. That's from David in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think the expectations were out of whack then. If you were thinking that they were going to go and blow things up philosophically, I would argue that for Jim Harbaugh, what you have seen him do or what you heard him say, let's just put it that way, till they do it, it's talk. Okay, I got that. So what we've heard him say and the moves that we have seen him make so far are significant. You saw him bring in an offensive coordinator. Let me say that again. You saw him bring in an offensive coordinator. I sat there with him last year, and you heard him say, I didn't have an offensive coordinator when I was at Michigan. This is the way I've always done it. And so there's been his streamlining in that way. And then the other thing with regard to the offense, I guess, I know there's this desire to see Michigan go wide open and pedal to the metal, spread them out, let's throw it around the yard. And that was just always unrealistic. I think what you got to seize upon is, you know, the new offensive coordinator saying that some of those elements will be a bigger part of what they do. They're still going to be smash mouth. They're still going to try to win the war of attrition by trying to pound teams with the run game. But he said, you know, we're going to let the talent the talent and what teams are trying to do to us dictate the response. You know, if we dictate our approach. I shouldn't say dictate the response. They want to be able to see what a team wants to do to them and then plan accordingly. If that means and he offered up unsolicited. Ira, neither you nor Dudek said, hey, you know, you're going to play some spread. And then he was like, are you going to spread teams out? And he said, oh, yeah, we're going to spread teams out. That's not how that question went.
No, it was a very open-ended question.
It was a very open-ended question about philosophy. And he said, you know, if we got to go 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 10 personnel, and that alarm bells went off for me when I heard him say that. I said, what? I don't remember seeing Michigan do that. And what that means is, all right, yeah, with the receiver, the abundance of receiver talent they have, if a team is, you know, if they're coming in and they're trying to slug it out with the ground game and they aren't winning rounds, as I said, yeah, they can spread teams out a little bit, throw it around the yard. You keep hearing them say speed and space, the short passing game, going to try to work those elements more into the equation. He mentioned tempo unsolicited. You know, these are things, I guess for me, these are things coming out of the season. I said, man, these are things they don't do that if they, you know, if they are going to improve next year, these are elements of the game that they're going to have to refine. And here he came in talking about every single one of those things.
Sam, because all you can do is talk until they play a game in August, the last day of August, and you can just see the actions that have been made, which, as you said, they're bringing in new OC. My general response to people is, look at what the 2017 Penn State offense looked like. He's a guy that was a part of that. Now, he didn't call those plays, but there are elements of that because he was a part of it. And he was a part of James Franklin's system for, 6 or 7 years, that he's going to probably bring some of those things. So go back and look at 2017 Penn State and tell me you didn't like what you saw. As just a football observer, tell me you didn't think that offense was a really dynamic offense. Obviously, they had some great playmakers, and Michigan's going to have those. And then you look at Alabama last year. Alabama slung the ball all over the place. They also ran smash-mouth football. And I understand it's Alabama, but that, again, he was a co-OC there. So look at what you saw out of Alabama's offense when it comes to some tempo things and some stylistic things. Look at Penn State 2017 and some stylistic things. And you can imagine that the things that maybe you haven't seen here that you want to see that were elements in those offenses are things that are in his mind. Because he has been at places for now extended periods of time where those things were used. He also talked about Bill Cubitt a lot. In the interview, he worked a year for Bill Cubitt at Western Michigan. He talked about Bill Cubitt's offensive mind, and Bill Cubitt's another spread guy. So you can see his influences. And yes, all they can do is talk about it right now because there are no games until the end of August. But look at where he has been. Look at who he's talked about, and then think about the things that you want to see. And more than likely, those things are in that conversation.
And you saw the ground game grow. I don't think they're going to abandon it.
They also said, I believe they were the hot, was it number one or number two in the country in most spots jumped from 2017 to 2018 in overall offense in the country.
Right. So, you know,
you want that next progression.
Yeah, most of that progress is in the ground game. And now you want to see similar progress in the passing game. And you don't have to be a spread offense to do that. It certainly helps to have some of those elements in there, which is what I think you'll see them adopt more of situationally. But, you know, some more tempo in there to keep teams off balance, spread them out at times to give them another look, take advantage of your playmakers, short passing game so teams can't dial you up knowing that, you know, your passing game is predicated on, you know, 5-7 step drops, play action, deep and intermediate shots. You got some shorter, quicker elements to it as well. So, you know, schematically, subtle changes. But again, you know, when you talk about the rhythm of an offense and, you know, being able to offer up responses that maybe are, you know, take advantage of what teams are trying to do to you, you know, not running into or throwing into their strength. I think that, you know, even without a major schematic, you know, overhaul, you can still have a profound effect. Now, time will tell if that's indeed the case. Let's go back to the phones, talk to Eric in South Carolina. Eric, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Sal?
Nothing much.
Hey, if Jim offering seventh grade, I got a fifth grader he need to come look at. Hey, real talk, keep it. Hey, I'm telling you, keep your eyes open for it. It's a kid named Jason Jones. He played quarterback. His dad was a Division I Division One offer. He had a bunch of offers. His dad got offer, had a bunch of offers. He played quarterback. He's about 6'3". His mom is about 5'11". And this kid competed at a, I don't know if you heard of CP3, but it's Corey Boyd. He played for South Carolina and played in the NFL and the CFL. And this kid, as a 10-year-old, came to this camp with high school kids and middle school kids and was the best quarterback there.
And how? And what grade is this kid in now?
He's in the fifth grade. He's 10 years old.
Wait. See, now, I thought you were talking about a different kid already. You talking about a 6'3", fifth grader?
No, his dad is 6'3".
Okay, well, okay. Yeah. Call me in about 4 or 5 years, man. All right.
I'm telling you, you're gonna hear about this kid.
Okay, I believe you. I just can't get into. I don't even look at middle schoolers. I certainly can't look at elementary school guys. So I'll take your word for it. Just call me in a couple weeks. Call me in 4 or 5 years. Eric, you still there? Did we lose Ian?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But hey, I was talking to Rick about this with these transfers, man. And I'm all for giving the kids more power to, you know, make moves and stuff like that, man. But I see a trend heading toward almost like free agency. It's almost like a free agency now where, you know, kids kind of looking at the depth chart saying, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to go here or here. You know, I hope they do make Justin Fields sit out the season just because I live in South Carolina. And South Carolina is worth way more racist than doggone Georgia. And you know, so if he grew up in Georgia, he's leaving Georgia for one reason and one reason alone. He can't beat out Jake Fromm. That's it. There ain't no other reason why he's leaving. I don't care what the baseball player said to him. They kicked the baseball player off the team, problem solved. If his sister's still there, I just don't like it. If he comes, he needs to sit out like everybody else because he's not leaving because he's in a hostile environment in Georgia. He know what Georgia was when he went there. And you know, I'm African-American. If anybody ain't sure about, you know, I don't want them thinking, you know, I'm some guy that's unsympathetic to his situation. No, I'm very sympathetic to his situation. But I think he just don't want to compete. And he's going to, and Tate Martell don't want to compete either, so he sees Justin Fields coming, so he leaves. So I don't like it. I mean, I like them having more power to move about, but I don't like if you can't beat out the guy, you just leave. You know, what happened to those who stay?
Well,
y'all have a good one, man. Go Blue.
Dude, he's going to win that case, Eric. I think you should de-stress yourself. He's going to win that.
He isn't wrong about the reason why he's transferring.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that he's wrong. You know, it's subjective. It's every case is different how people respond. And I think there's something to his motive, his true motive for transferring. But do you want to set the precedent? He may not be, being totally forthright with his rationale. But what about the next person who says this is why I want to leave? Well, you didn't let Justin Fields do it. So then you can't let the person who is more sincere do it too? No. Anyway, we got to get to a break. Back on the other side, great friend of the show. We're going to catch up with Mike Bottom on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.